Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
The last planned search for the missing Malaysia Airlines Flight 370 wraps up today. That flight carrying 239 people vanished in March of 2014 on its way from Kuala Lumpur to Beijing. The private Texas-based company Ocean Infinity has been searching the ocean floor since January of this year after the official search paid for by Australia ended last year. Richard Quest is international business correspondent at CNN and host of Quest Means Business. His book is called The Vanishing of Flight MH370, The True Story of the Hunt for the Missing Malaysian Plane. Richard Quest, welcome back.
Lovely to be with you. An extraordinary way in which this story, this MH370, just doesn't end.
Yeah, well, that's right. I mean, we still don't know what happened to this plane. Did we learn anything from the searches that have been going on?
Not really. I mean, I suppose one can extrapolate. We learned what the bottom of the ocean looks like. We learned some of the debris that is down there. Did we, from this latest search by Ocean Infinity, learn anything else? Not really, and it's most disappointing, and it's rather worrying in a sense, because not only did they search the tens of thousands of square kilometres that were thought to be most likely, because of their sophisticated searching techniques, they searched even more. They searched over 100,000 square kilometres, and they still didn't find anything. Now, having had the original search 2 years ago, which came up with nothing, but then refined the limited data they had, and then added in the reverse drift techniques from the debris that had washed up in Africa, they were pretty certain that they had a good handle on where it was in a zone just slightly north of the previous search area. Well, it's not.
When you say reverse drift techniques, tell us about some of the technology that they were able to use that the Australians were not.
What they did was they took the debris, and I mean, the Australians were very much involved in this, by the way. Don't forget, a lot of the debris was only found after the Australian search had finished. So the Australian experts were the ones that did the reverse drift. They looked at the debris, and they worked out, by looking at the tides and the ocean flows, mm-hmm. were able to work out where this would have been 2 years previously or 3 years previously. They then looked at the various, was it crumpled, was it broken, had it been ripped off, and were able to extrapolate probably how the plane came out of the sky. It is extrapolation. There are no facts involved here. Let's be blunt about this. Everybody has a view. I'll give you an example, Jeremy. The recent Australian program, 60 Minutes, did a major documentary on this, where the conclusion was that there was somebody at the controls when the plane went into the water. Now, that is counter to everything that the authorities have said had happened.
What about the debris? How much has been found, and how sure are authorities that it came from this plane?
Oh, they're, in some cases, they're absolutely sure. I mean, there's no question. They have found pieces of debris, the flapper on, for example, various pieces of the fuselage that had numbers on it that could only have come from MH370. So you've got those that are certainly from MH370. And then you've got those pieces that are almost certainly. You know, it merely means there was no stamp, no individual unique identifying number. But it was a part of a 777 that was found on the other side of the Indian Ocean, and nobody has reported a part missing besides MH370. So the short and long of it is, there is plenty of debris from MH370 that they can now extrapolate roughly where it went down. But the actual topography of the ocean bed, the depth of water, the size and scale involved, and crucially, we still do not know exactly what happened when the plane ran out of fuel. It makes 100 miles in one direction or 100 miles in another direction difference.
And there are a lot of theories out there about what happened. We've talked about them over the years, but I want to go through a few of them. I mean,
sure.
One idea is that someone took the plane down on purpose. We heard that theory right after the crash in March of 2014 from former pilot Mark Weiss. Let's listen.
Did somebody come into the cockpit? Did somebody who was in the cockpit try to wrestle that airplane away from the pilots? Did one of the pilots have a meltdown? Certainly, there seems to have been enough time for word to have gotten out from the cockpit, if word had wanted to be gotten out.
What about that, Richard Quest, the idea that this plane was taken down on purpose?
I mean, could it? Yes. Did it? I don't know. That theory of what I put in the nefarious, I put that in the nefarious bucket. Was it a terrorist? Did somebody break in? Was the plane hijacked? There's no evidence of this. There's nobody's claim to responsibility. There have been the only people who shouldn't have been on that plane were two asylum seekers from Iran. Then you come to the pilot. Was it Zahiri? Well, he had practiced flying on his own private simulator down towards the Indian Ocean. He was supposedly having marital problems. But there's no evidence. Does it look likely? Possibly. Somebody clearly did switch off the transponder, which identifies the aircraft. Somebody did disable the ACARS, which is a communication system. And somebody did fly the plane up the Straits of Malacca, around the tip of Indonesia, and set it on a course down towards the southern Indian Ocean. But we do not know whether it was by accident or by design. And in the court of public opinion, we cannot convict the pilot until we have a bit more than we've got at the moment.
But when you put it the way you just did, it does sound like it was by design.
Oh, you're wonderful, Jeremy. You're going down. You're going down. There's no smoke without fire argument, and I can certainly see the attraction of it. But if you had said that an MD-11 was going to come out the sky because of the in-flight entertainment system setting on fire above the cockpit, you'd have said that's never going to happen. But it did, with Swiss. Mm-hmm. If you'd said that a British Airways 777 was going to crash land at Heathrow because of ice in the fuel system, you'd have said, well, highly unlikely. But it did. Having covered airline and aviation incidents for the best part of three decades, I know that the final result is usually something that you've never even thought of, or possibly not likely. Hmm. In this case, I caution, and we don't know where the plane is. We know it is somewhere off the western coast of Australia in the southern Indian Ocean, where it's tens of thousands of feet deep, but nobody knows exactly where.
So I guess I shouldn't even ask you this next one, but there are people who thought that the plane actually landed somewhere. This is Jeff Wise, a former aviation analyst for CNN, who looked at that in 2015.
The data that remains that I think is pretty much incorruptible by itself gives a pretty good idea of where the plane went, and it's hard to arrive at any place other than Kazakhstan.
It seems like that theory is not being taken seriously anymore.
Jeff Wise, dear chap, made a very good name for himself with that theory in his article, which has been widely debunked, and even he now accepts that that is not the case at all. He was talking earlier on when it looked like there were two possibilities of the Northern Corridor or the Southern Corridor. We're long past that. But you have got real hard evidence that the plane came out of the sky, tragically, in the water. I'll tell you what's really interesting is whether the new government in Kuala Lumpur of Mahathir Mohamad, whether the new government there will choose to take this up as a cause, as indeed the previous government seemed to forget about it, or will they also let it drift? If the new government in Malaysia believes that there is political mileage in making trouble for the previous government, it's entirely possible that they will reveal all the things that we don't know, such as what did happen on the night. What did the Malaysian Air Force see? Why didn't they scramble planes? How was a plane able to fly right across the country? What are the true private secret documents the Malaysian government has that they've never revealed about what happened on the night?
Richard Quest, most of the time with airplane crashes, once they figure out what did happen, there are changes made to either aircraft or to procedures on board to try to prevent that same thing from happening again. In this case, we don't yet know what happened. Has anything changed across the board for airlines?
Oh, absolutely. The biggest change. It took the international authorities some time, but the airlines in it themselves was tracking of aircraft. Most viewers and listeners don't realize that once planes go oceanic, there's no radar. They are tracked either by timing, so you know what time it goes out over the ocean, and therefore you just track it backwards, forwards across the ocean, or by satellite. It registers with a satellite. It sends its position. And the big change was, whereas sometimes airlines didn't track or got information, say, every 15 minutes, every 10 minutes. Now, in many cases, the airlines are down at 3 minutes, 1 minute, or 30 seconds. The machines are constantly sending out signals. This is where I am. This is where I am. This is how much fuel. This is what's happening. This is the speed. And the other thing that's interesting is systems are designed now so that if the plane deviates substantially from its route plan and expected course, then it will set off an alarm back at base. Hmm. So, yes, real change has taken place. It should have happened before, but there's never the wrong time to do the right thing.
Do you think we'll ever know what happened to MH370? Do you think this is really the end of the search?
No, I think it's the end of the search for now. But Amelia Earhart, the Titanic, they found the Titanic 70-odd years after right. The thing went down. We have a thirst of knowledge that we need to know. And nowhere is that more important in the world of aviation. Oh, I'm familiar with those execs and those people who say, we know what happened, the pilot did it. Let me tell you now, Jeremy, we do not know what happened.
That's Richard Quest of CNN. He's the author of the book, The Vanishing of Flight MH370, which vanished more than 4 years ago now, and they've just ended the search for it, the latest search. Richard, thanks as always.
Thank you.